Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. I'm your host, Belinda, and I'm really excited about our guest today. I have Christina Scalera, and she is the attorney and founder behind The Contract Shop, a contract template store for creative entrepreneurs, wedding professionals, and coaches. In 2014, Christina found herself dreaming of pursuing a more creative path, and she started to look for alternatives to her in-house legal job. She explored everything from teaching yoga to becoming a freelance graphic designer to opening an Etsy shop. In the process, she ended up coming full circle by creating a business that brought the benefit of her legal training to help her fellow creatives. She's now teaching others how they too can create an online shop phenomenon, create daily income, and get out of the client getting hustle with her course, Products on Tap. It is my pleasure to welcome Christina to our show today.
Thanks for having me, Belinda.
Yeah, so this is a really great topic for today. I think it's what a lot of people are interested in, even if they have a full-time job. So many people are looking to create a side hustle or, you know, a different extra stream of income just as a safety net to the crazy world that we're living in. So I do believe that this is something that interests a lot of people. So why don't you just fill in some of these gaps from your bio? Tell us a little bit more about kind of about that journey, what you're doing today, and let's learn a little bit more about you.
Yeah, so I got started by doing a lot of different things that obviously led to where I am right now. It was kind of a stressful time in my life when I knew I didn't want the career path that I had originally set out on, which was being a lawyer. And that was really hard. Like, I think a lot of people have a hard time leaving the corporate world. And that's why we see a lot of people starting businesses right now at the time that we're recording this, because they don't have any other choice. They've been let go or they're furloughed or something like that, which can feel like the worst thing in the world, but it can actually be this awesome gift that pushes you out of the nest and teaches you how to fly. And so I didn't have that luxury. I just knew that I wasn't happy. I wasn't working for my happy place at the time, for sure. And I needed something different. And so I had to try a lot of different things. And finally, something stuck, which is not what a lot of people want to hear. They want to hear that, like, I tried something right out of the gate. It worked beautifully. And then it was just, you know, a multi-million dollar success from there. But it was a lot of different trial and error to get me to where I am today, which is both running a seven-figure store and also teaching people how to do the same with digital products only. So a little bit different from where you're coming from with an e-commerce type background and physical shipments of products.
Yeah. So I think that, interesting enough, I think that people do struggle when they have spent a long time to get a legal degree. I mean, like, you spend a lot of energy in that, and to walk away from that or to go out and try to discover something else that makes you happy, that's hard for a lot of people. But then I also think it's funny. I think that people know that it can't be, like, I always tell people, don't share, well, I was really unhappy and then I started this and now I'm making seven figures. People don't want to hear that story. They want to hear what really happened. What was really going on in there? So I love it that you're sharing. You had to, you know, try your hand at some different things. And so then when did you realize, okay, this is it? Like, let's take us through that just a little bit. So you're like saying, maybe I'll do yoga. Maybe I'll do this. I think a lot of people do this. They're like, I just talked to a gal earlier that I was coaching today, and she's like, but maybe I should do this, but maybe I should do this, or maybe I should do this. And I said, yeah, why don't we pick one choice? What is the one thing, your first dilemma? Should I do this or this? And look right out all of your pros and cons. And then before you move on to trying to make five decisions right now. And so she was like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's great advice. And that is the hardest thing to do, because you are so good at so many things. And you also have interests in so many things, and you can see how something could work for each of them. But, you know, just because I like doing calligraphy, or, you know, because I enjoyed yoga, you know, those weren't necessarily great career paths. And I tried my hand at them to see for sure. But they at least helped to solidify that I was on the right, I was on the right path, even if I didn't know what that was. So for example, when I was trying to do yoga stuff, I learned everything about blogging. I learned about graphic design. I learned about how to start a business, what you needed to start a business, because believe it or not, that's not something they teach you in law school. You learn complex mergers and acquisitions, but you don't know what an LLC is when you graduate. So there was a big learning curve that some of these beginner businesses that I tried my hand on really helped me to advance through. And so that was like the biggest thing is just looking at what I could do with this like focus that you're talking about, and figuring out when I gave it a go and it wasn't working versus am I giving up too early. And so the hint is that if you start to feel resentful or things just feel like every door is being slammed in your face, then it might be time to move on to something different. So for example, with the yoga, it was great. I was having some success. My idea was to become a private yoga teacher in Atlanta. I was living in Atlanta at the time. And this is a very affluent, up-and-coming area. I thought I would have a great portfolio of clients. I could go to their house. I could help them feel better and move better, and they would love it. Well, unfortunately, people also didn't want to pay a premium price to have this premium service in Atlanta where traffic is terrible. And so it was just not like it was every single door was like slamming in my face with this yoga business where it just really could not get off the ground. I mean, even to the point where I started to see people that I had idolized in the industry and interact with them. And then they were not the people that they looked like on the magazine covers and things like that. So it was this, you know, the psychologists call it like cognitive dissonance, like what you're seeing and what you're feeling on the surface is not how you see and feel things from the inside. And so that's where I started to reevaluate where I was at with that business. And when I started to feel that resentment towards driving to a client's house or reading another yoga magazine, and I knew like the person in there was just lying through their teeth in the article, I was just like, yeah, I'm done with this. And I had to find something else. And to be totally honest, legal stuff was still paying the bills at the time. So I had a couple clients. I was taking on some legal work. I had left my firm job, but I still had my foot in that game. And I knew that I didn't want to do it in the capacity that I had been taught was available to me after law school.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to get creative about what that looked like then. And that was when I came up with, because I had this yoga experience, because I had this experience practicing graphic design and calligraphy and blogging, I came up with the idea that this was a really underserved group, especially of women who were getting into entrepreneurship, and they may have had some of the tools that they needed, but they didn't have access to the legal knowledge and background and templates that would have taken their business to the next level. And so it really was just looking at where there was a need in each of the marketplaces that I tried. And mm-hmm. like some of those needs, I mean, they were legitimate needs that people had, but they weren't needs that I wanted to meet. And so it was trying my hand at, you know, finding all these different needs and then finding one that worked not just for other people, obviously they were purchasing it, but also for me as someone who was providing the solution to those problems.
That is awesome. And I think that's so true. I think that is a much underserved area of business, and it's hard to navigate when you have an idea and you're excited and you've got this business that you want to do. A lot of the things to do with the legal aspects of it, the accounting aspects of it, those are things that a lot of people have absolutely no idea about and aren't exactly sure where to go get that assistance.
Yeah. So I would encourage anybody that is thinking about pivoting to just really look at what you enjoy doing, like what are the aspects, and not just like, oh, I'm really into blogging or whatever, but like what aspects of your business actually are sustainable for you and help you to not just have a business that you love, but also a life that you love. So for example, I'm really, we were talking about customer support before we started recording. I'm really bad at customer support. I just get really overwhelmed pretty easily. I don't respond very quickly. And so a lot of it is looking at like, what are you good at? Mm-hmm. And figuring out how to provide a solution to people's problems in a way that you're good at. So for example, if you're really outgoing and extroverted, then having some sort of in-person business is a great idea. But I'm really introverted and I kind of like to watch Netflix a little too much. So running a business that lets me work whenever I want to work and not on a client's schedule is a lot more ideal. And so I think that's what people overlook because they're like, I'll push through it. I'll make it work. I'll find a way to do this no matter what. But if it doesn't work with your lifestyle and your personality and all of the things that make you you, it's just not a business that you can sustain for the long run, kind of like my yoga business where that was never mm-hmm. going to work out because I'm just not like a warm and fuzzy in person, give me a hug, like people person every single day. So, you know, sometimes finding that alignment as far as lifestyle goes is, and not just like business activities, is really important.
Good. So let's talk about how has your business shaped your lifestyle today?
Yeah, great question. Like I said, I work when I want to. It doesn't mean that I never work. It doesn't mean that I have, sustainable passive income, although I would argue that a lot of people would look at my business and say it is that right now. It's passive enough to where I was able to start this secondary coaching business and teach people how to come up with their own D-commerce products. D-commerce is a term I coined for the type of products I help people to create, similar to what I did with my store. And I'm all about giving people the freedom to, what I try to do with each of my coaching clients is give them the freedom to create that lifestyle business that works for them. And so it's really about taking things down to the mat and figuring out what it is that they want in life, which is actually a really hard question for a lot of people, including myself, to answer, because what you want in life can change and it can feel like a really permanent thing to move towards these goals. But it's a really, really important foundation to have if you're trying to establish what kind of business you want to build and what kind of lifestyle it's built around.
I love the D-commerce. I'm taking that as that's a digital versus versus hard products or however we want to refer to that as. So awesome. So let's talk about your skill sets. What have you identified as kind of your superpower that has really helped you along this journey and being successful?
Definitely creating content. I really thrive on creating content, mm-hmm. which is now it's taken the look of more hiring the content out, and I just kind of sprinkle it with my thoughts, and they call it Christinifying it in my business. They're like, hey, can you Christinify this thing? But definitely creating content, because no matter what your business is, you can never create enough content. And I think that if you are good at creating a certain kind of content, everybody can have one that they hone in on, whether that's audio, like a podcast, or video on YouTube, or, you know, going live because you tend to procrastinate doing tasks, but you'll show up for a scheduled live call in a Facebook group that you run. Like whatever that looks like for you, I think there's a content platform that's now available for everybody, which is just really incredible because if you think back to where we were 20, 30 years ago, like these weren't things that existed. And so a lot of people can be mad at social media for existing and for stealing their time and whatever. But these are also things that we didn't have available to help us to build our businesses. And so, you know, you can take it one of either way. And I just prefer to lean into that superpower of creating content. Mostly written for me is really how I prefer to create it. And that is the engine that runs our business and drives traffic from Google and Facebook ads and everything else.
Okay. So, and for you, creating content is more of the templates and stuff that you're offering and that you sell digitally. I guess I would love to understand that a little bit more. So it says you've created a 7-figure store. I'm looking here for those notes. It says Shopify store. So exactly. How are you doing that? Is it through the, when you say creative, so are you creating templates that people then can purchase and use, or what? How exactly are we doing that?
Those were created a while ago, and then we just update them every year. When I talk about content, I'm talking more about fresh content that drives people to your website. So whether you have an online store or a local business or like whatever that looks like for you, it's really critical to create types of content that help to preemptively answer people's questions or get them excited about learning more about you or your products or your services. That's the kind of content that I'm saying is really what I'm creating. We do, I mean, especially with my personal brand and the coaching and things, I'm definitely creating a lot of products right now. And I think you'll just naturally do a lot more of that at the beginning of any business that you have. And then it'll just be refinement from there. But yeah, when I say create content, I mean, create the kind of content that draws people in and really magnifies their attention on your brand.
Okay. So what's an outstanding accomplishment that you've achieved that's super meaningful for you?
So earlier this, it wasn't so much an accomplishment as like almost a failure. but I just didn't want to work this year. And so I didn't. From December to July, I wasn't depressed or anything like that. I just was really not motivated to work. And it had to do with a lot of different things. I had left a relationship I'd been in for 7 years. I moved cross country. When I found myself, you know, at the end of the move, coronavirus was just starting. And so it was just like a lot of things that were happening that I was just like, I don't want to work. And so I spent like every day journaling and doing coaching calls like with my coach and just kind of, I guess this sounds kind of woo, but it really didn't feel that way at the time, but like learning more about myself and what I wanted and like, where am I in life and kind of questioning how things were going in my life and my business. And it was really awesome because it's not like I just sat at home all day. This is like, I lived in the mountains of Colorado. So I was like hiking every day and just doing like a lot of fun things and basically took this 8-month sabbatical. Which was awesome because it allowed me to just kind of check in and do a couple things here and there on my business that I really wanted to do. But if I didn't show up, sales were still coming in, the business was still growing, and all this was happening during a pandemic. So it was just this really incredible thing to be able to walk away from a business, have it grow, and continue that growth through one of the worst economic periods that any of us can remember.
Yep, that is for sure. Absolutely, for sure. Well, it's great that you were able to, you know, from what you built and you were able to sustain that. And that was through your Shopify store?
Correct. Yeah. And that's really what gave me the courage and the confidence to launch this coaching business because, you know, until that point, I was just like, I don't know. Like, I don't know if I have the time, right? All the excuses that everyone has. I don't know if anybody would want to listen to me. I don't know, but whatever. So all of those thoughts were running through my head. And that was a really helpful time, not just to figure out what I wanted to do and offer with my coaching services, but also to show me that I can do that because I don't have to be working in my business or on my business every single day for 10 hours or 14 hours or whatever I used to put in. Because that was the story that I'd had up until that point is that my business is going to fall apart if I walk away and don't spend, you know, 12 hours a day in it. But then I just didn't, and it didn't fall apart. It actually grew. So that was really kind of crazy. But also, I know people are like, but well, good for you. But like, how does that work for me? Honestly, it was 4 years of building up automations, customer support systems. And it wasn't even a big team. It was like 4 or 5 of us at the time. So I had my COO, I had my marketing officer, and then I also had a graphic designer and a customer support representative. So that was it. And then me. So I'm the fifth person.
Okay.
So it wasn't even like a huge team or anything that was running this behind the scenes at all. And between the four of them and myself, we were able to sustain this growth, even with me just kind of putting out a fire here and there, or like I said, just not even putting out fires because they handled it so well. But just working when I wanted to on like things that felt really creative and fun and exciting, but not necessarily things that had to be done. Like you might wake up and have an agenda for yourself.
So let's talk about then an obstacle or challenge that you faced and how you worked through that.
Well, I mean, I do think, like, as much of a blessing as it was to take those 8 months off, motivation is something I've really struggled with a lot this year. I got diagnosed with ADHD last year at the age of 31. So I was really late, which happens to a lot of women. And that really helped me to put things into perspective and to understand, like, maybe why I needed to go through this hibernation period of sorts this year. But it's also been a struggle getting back into work, knowing that, you know, I can walk away for a while, but, you know, is that going to last? I don't know, maybe, but probably not. So I needed to get back to work at some point. And I also wanted to build this personal brand and teach people how to create a product that is passive and digital, and you don't have to ship anything and that kind of thing. So that took a lot of work and motivation for me to get back into. So I would say that was a huge obstacle, is figuring out how to work and find focus and motivation when that's just not something that you have any desire to do at all. And so I'm still working through it, candidly. You know, it's not something that I have a little bow that I can put on a platter and, like, show you guys. Mm-hmm. But every single day with ADHD, if you have it, you know it's different. And, you know, maybe your crutch, or maybe your obstacle isn't, like, your ADHD and waking up to a different person, not personality, but, like, mind state every day. But maybe it's, like, kids, or like a family member who needs you, or just a crazy busy schedule, or you have five businesses or something. So whatever it is that's pulling your focus and your motivation away from the thing that you want to be doing. For me, what's worked is focusing more on the things that will keep me grounded, like exercise. So I hired a personal trainer because I knew that I wouldn't have the accountability personally to, like, get myself into the gym. During coronavirus, that's looked like buying a Peloton bike, which was, like, the best investment ever. because that's like a personal trainer that's way, 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 way cheaper than a personal trainer.
But again, so you love your I've been sitting here. So this is just a side thing, but I've been sitting here trying to figure out if I want to get a Peloton bike or not. Like, that's been my big decision here. And I keep going and looking at that and the Nordic Track one and going, okay, and will I do it? And do people really love it? Or do you get it? Then you don't do it. So you, like, love it.
I love it. And I hate cardio. Like, I hate cardio. So I was really surprised, and I, you know, I bought it thinking, well, I'll spend enough money on it that I'll use it. And that was part of it. But really, the classes and the instructors are just so fun and so engaging. And I find myself going back to the same two or three every single day. And, you know, the community is awesome, and it's what keeps Peloton going, and why it's so much more engaging, I think, than the other platforms, and why their stocks have been just soaring this year. Compared to other manufacturers. But yeah, so I would say to anybody out there, definitely investing in your health is one of the best things you can do to realign and find focus if you feel like that's missing from your life right now. For the motivation part of it, a lot of it is just forcing myself to do things in little tiny increments. My therapist actually had me do a really helpful exercise where she actually has me write out everything I accomplished that day, like at the bottom of my planner for that day, which sounds really basic and easy, and it is, but you just don't do it. And then when you do it, it's amazing what you've accomplished and how much pressure you put on yourself to get things done. And maybe, you know, if you tend to be type A or critical of yourself, which I definitely am, you're always underestimating how much you've been able to accomplish in a day. And so just doing something simple like that is enough to help you lean on, like, you almost motivate yourself because you can see what you did and you're like, oh, I did that. Okay, well, tomorrow I can do that and this. And so it really helps you to find some motivation in your life to just kind of pick things back up if it feels like, you know, today's a struggle.
That is awesome. And I think that's so true. So let's talk about what working from your happy place means to you. How would you describe that?
Working from my happy place means waking up without an alarm clock, for sure. letting, like, my body's natural rhythm, or, you know, like a bad night sleeping or whatever, like, not letting those things get in the way, not letting those be a source of stress. And starting from that foundation every morning, it means having that space and that time in the morning, even if it is like super early at like 5:30, to work on some of the like these things that we're talking about, or to journal about some of the things I talked about. And then it means working on the things that really light me up. Most of the time, I would say like 80% of the time. Like today, I have to film two videos and my team is like, Christina, we need these. We need these. We need these. Like, I don't think they can Vox or Slack or email me more about these things today. So it doesn't mean that like, I'm always working on things that absolutely delight and, you know, enthrall me. But it's definitely something where if you can work more on the things that keep you interested and engaged and feeling creative and just kind of in that like flow aligned state, that's where you can really find a lot of happiness and motivation and excitement in your life from your business, so that when you take off at the end of the day, you feel really accomplished and you feel really excited about what's to come the next day and the opportunities that are ahead of you, instead of feeling so burdened and stressed out and you know, working from like this place of scarcity and feeling like you're not doing enough or that you're not enough. So I think those are the things that definitely take time to build up. Like I was saying, it took me 4 years to get to the place where I had automations and a team and products and things like that in place. And it was a lot of 14-hour days to that point. But you know, it helped that I had along the way, I always had work that I enjoyed, and I always surrounded myself with people that really lit me up and didn't drag me down. And if they did, you know, putting that boundary there and cutting them off and out of my life if that was the appropriate thing to do. So I hope that helps somebody to try to find more of their happy place. You know, practically speaking, it means that I now get to enjoy my hobbies like skiing, and I have three horses, and you know, doing those kinds of things every day and not feeling guilty as I engage in the things that I enjoy.
Very good. So what advice would you give to others who might maybe are finding themselves either in the same path that you are on, which is maybe, gosh, I went and pursued this career in this, but this isn't really what I'm loving. I'm not really loving it. And, or, you know what, I just really would love to create some type of side hustle right now where I can sort of create a safety net. That's what I'm hearing. Like 30% of people are saying, I'd like to create some type of side hustle or extra stream of income just to create a safety net if we are laid off or if our job doesn't continue to the degree that it was. So that's what I'm hearing from a lot of people. So what advice would you give to those wanting to pursue this world of entrepreneurship?
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, even if you're not about to get laid off, who doesn't want extra cash?
Right.
I mean, I would definitely just say, like, my first gut reaction was to tell people to just take it really slow. Things are going to feel like they're going slower than they should go, but they're probably going right at the pace they should be at with what's going on in your life. And if you're still not satisfied with how quickly things are progressing along, or you feel like you're not moving fast enough, or things aren't happening fast enough for you, evaluate, again, go back to that foundation of what it is that you want your life to look like. What do you want in your life? And like, are you prioritizing your life for those things? So for example, if you want a big shiny new car, but you're spending all of your money on DoorDash or, you know, something that you could be doing for yourself, maybe you're like outsourcing something that is really not making a huge difference in your life. You're not saving up for the thing that you really want. You're spending your money elsewhere on all these little tiny pleasures. And so, you know, do you really want that big thing? You have to have that hard conversation with yourself. Mm-hmm. So maybe that big thing is a successful side hustle or a business that takes over your full-time job. And, you know, if that really is what you want, are you prioritizing things in your life around that? Are you carving out time to work on that side hustle? Are you saying no to opportunities that don't really light you up, like a fundraiser or like something at your kid's school or whatever, that you're just like, ugh? Are you saying yes to those things and now don't have time or energy to work on your own stuff? So I think that's where that would be my first reaction. And then the second one is just really simple. I stole this from Tim Ferriss, and he just asks, if this were easy, what would it look like? And that is a question I come back to every single day of my business when I start to feel overwhelmed or things start to spiral or I tend to make things harder than they are. I'm just like, whoa, whoa, whoa. If this were easy, what would it look like?
That's a good question. That is a very, very, very good question. All right. So in closing, what are some new and exciting things that might want our listeners to know about? And where can they find you?
Yeah, you can find all this at ChristinaScalera.com. If you don't know how to spell my name, you can just kind of guess and Google will make sure you find it because it's a weird name. But yeah, so we have a training on how to turn your service into a product there. And we also have a lot of really awesome resources and checklists to help you get that business started off the ground, especially if you want to have that passive income, digital commerce type business rather than maybe a physical or a local business. But yeah, that's the best place to find me is I'm Christina Scalera at everything, Instagram, Facebook, the okay. web, everything.
Very good. Well, Christina, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and insights and enthusiasm and for serving people in a way that I think is an underserved area of them reaching, trying to discover new things and start a business. Because it's one thing to have an idea, but it's another thing to actually start putting it into action. And that is the important piece of it. So thank you so much for that. And to all of our listeners, thank you so much for joining us on Work From Your Happy Place. And we'd love it if you would subscribe. That way you don't miss a single episode. And please rate or review us because that helps us more than any other single thing. So once again, Christina, thank you for your time today. We appreciate it so much.
Thank you, Belinda.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends and be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.